Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. A couple of weeks ago here on Radio Boston, we had a conversation about an innovative and growing program in the state's criminal justice system. They're called specialty courts, and they deal with defendants who have long-term drug or mental health problems.
Rather than sentencing the defendant to jail or probation, a specialty court judge takes a broader look with the help of healthcare providers and social workers and determines what treatment that person needs to mitigate the underlying issue that contributed to the crime. We spoke with Judge Rosemary Minahan, who presides over these drug and mental health courts in Plymouth County.
They make it from one end of probation to the other with very few jail days. They may go in for an emergency psychiatric admission. They're stabilized and they're returned to the community.
Well, every year, more specialty courts are opened across the country, even though the idea is still relatively new. There are unanswered questions about their efficacy, so we thought we'd follow up on several of those issues with Leon Nafok, reporter for the Boston Globe Ideas section. He recently wrote about such problem-solving courts for the Globe and joins us from New York. Welcome back, Leon.
Thank you.
Great to have you as always, Leon. So you've written, and as we've discussed on Radio Boston, for the past 20 years, these problem-solving courts have really been popping up around the country. But as with any new idea, there have been some concerns about the rate at which they've been proliferating, primarily from the grassroots level. So can you just walk us through what some of those concerns are?
There's a concern that there's just too much variability. The judge has such a different role in relation to the defendant than what we kind of normally think of in a traditional courtroom. The judge is very much like a social worker. It's not unheard of to have hugging and back patting, and you know, some judges like to have graduation ceremonies at the end of their program when someone has succeeded and doesn't have to come in anymore. So it's a very different role for the judge to play. And so some judges are really good at this and other judges aren't as good at this. You know, there have been studies that show that with one particular drug court in Portland, Oregon, for example, they tracked results over 10 years. And they showed that the recidivism rate, meaning the rate at which defendants ended up back in the criminal justice system after being released, you know, varied wildly from judge to judge.
This brings us to actually one of the key points and key questions regarding the proliferation of these problem-solving courts, and that is, are they effective or not? When we spoke with Judge Rosemary Minahan about this effectiveness question, she, in part, responded with a story about one person in her court who can't get a job, is going through the process, but wants to volunteer instead. So let's listen to that.
He went in for interviews, and last week, he and I talked about how going in for the interview was a victory. Whether he gets the volunteer position or not isn't the issue. That was a victory for him to have the courage to go in.
So, I mean, the issue there is, you know, in the story of this one person, what, when we say, are these courts effective, what exactly, you know, do we mean? Is it that he's taking further steps in his life, or that he finally lands a job, or does he stay out of the criminal justice system for a long, long time? I guess my question is, I wonder when you're reporting what you found about, you know, are there consistent standards? Is there a push to get consistent standards?
These courts are really hard to study. Like, drug courts were the first kind of problem-solving court, and at this point, there's a big pile of data that suggests that they do reduce recidivism by, I think, between 8 and 15%. You know, what makes problem-solving courts so cool and so, to me, idealistic is that they are, by design, all different. They're built to treat every individual as an individual. So not only are veterans courts different from mental health courts, which are different from drug courts, within those categories, they're different from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, and even from within, from courtroom to courtroom. So it's hard to measure.
Right. So there's that variability again. Well, let me ask you, one of the people that you interviewed for your story had a concern that specialty courts might make some defendants more vulnerable. How so?
The lawyers who are assigned to someone in a mental health court are not necessarily specialists on how to treat people with mental illness. You know, it's true about public defenders in general. It's true about lawyers in general. And the concern is the people who are the defendants in those cases don't necessarily understand what they're agreeing to, and their lawyers don't either. And so with problem-solving courts, it's perhaps exaggerated because that defense attorney is working on a team with people who, in a normal courtroom, would be his or her adversaries.
Right. Part of the excitement around these problem-solving courts and the reason why they seem to be proliferating is that they are getting at a problem in the criminal justice system that judges and attorneys, you know, see every day, that people are coming through the system repeatedly with the same issues, and there's nothing in the extant system of law that we have that really helps them get out of that cycle. And so that's where the innovation of these problem-solving courts comes in. But I'm wondering if you found any other innovations that criminal justice systems around the country are looking at that make regular courts perhaps more flexible in dealing with these cases?
You know, I really focus my research on problem-solving courts. I couldn't tell you what other things people are trying. What I can say is that it's absolutely true that there's a sort of idealism behind them. And there's also a realism behind them, which is that, look, these people aren't getting treatment outside of the courts. Like, there's a reason why they're ending up in front of a judge. We don't have the social services available that would prevent them from committing the crime in the first place. And so there's a lot of people who say, yeah, sure, this is an ad hoc fix, but it's the best thing we have.
Well, Leon Nafok is a reporter for the Boston Globe's Ideas section. His article headlined "The Custom Justice of Problem-Solving Courts" recently appeared in the Boston Globe. And he joins us today from the Argo Studios in New York. Leon, always great to have you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
And by the way, you can go back and hear our in-depth conversation with Plymouth Specialty Court Judge Rosemary Minahan at radioboston.org.